Amen. When it says that when we sing, "You are the treasure that I seek," are you mindful that one of the names of Christ is that He is the treasury of God's wisdom? And so as we're in this series in the book of Proverbs and we are saying that we're seeking wisdom, we are seeking Christ. And so this morning, let us take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. And this morning we are going to be taking a look at the topic of the life of the fool. The life of the fool. And I want us to begin by looking at a particular verse in Proverbs chapter 3. And so look in Proverbs chapter 3. And why is it important for us to... There goes my Bible. Going to have to buy one now. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. Why would we want to take a look at the issue of the life of a fool and the life of the wise? Well, in this one verse, we're given our reason and perhaps our motivation this morning. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. Or as the King James puts it this morning, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the promotion of fools. Lord, as we are made in Your image, You do not desire that we should be the inheritors of shame and dishonor. In Your great mercy, You have shown us the way of wisdom through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and also the ways of wisdom through Your holy word. And so, Father, I pray that You would instruct us today through Your Word, and may Your Holy Spirit apply Your Word deeply into our beings, into our souls, affect us not just for the next few moments, but change us for all of eternity. As You are wise, as the Son is wise, use Your Holy Spirit and Your Holy Word to make us wise in Your image. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, I have a question for you this morning. And we just know that the doors are closed and there's nobody but us friends in here. And I have just one question. That is, how many of you have the secret longing in the dark recesses of your heart that one day you too would be called a fool? How many of you have that as your hope and glory? Well, none of us. None of us want to be called a fool. And we certainly don't want to hear that from others towards us. But what we have to ask the question is, when God looks at us, would He call us a fool? You know, one of the things I talked to the Lord about and prayed about this week is, you know, I could have addressed this message, the life of the wise man. But usually when you are talking about the positive, people sort of want to identify with the positive and they sort of check out. They relax. Yeah, that's me. I'm the wise man. But when you force someone to take a look at, you know, it's possible that you are a negative thing, they'll listen a little bit more to see, am I really like that? And so, although we could have spent some time this morning looking at the life of the wise, and we will, as a contrast to the life of the fool, we'll look at the life of the fool. And I hope that as you are making your way through the book of Proverbs, and one of the things that you can be doing all through the book of the Proverbs is take a page in a notebook somewhere and write the wise or wisdom, and then on another page put fool or folly or foolishness, fools. And just as you're going through that chapter for the day, you don't necessarily have to do this all in one day, but as you're going through the chapter, just write down, what does the Bible say, particularly in the book of Proverbs, this concentration of the wisdom of God in terms of how to live this life. What does it say in chapter 19 today about the life of the wise? And what does it say about the life of the fool in Proverbs 19? And just go through the book of Proverbs and begin to contrast those two themes. Well, today we're going to look at the life of the fool, and we could probably say many more things than I am going to say today. Today would be maybe just a to whet your appetite to go and study this further, but we are going to give five descriptions of the fool, the life of the fool, this morning. Did you know that in the book of Hebrews, there are actually three different, the book of Proverbs, there are actually three different Hebrew words used to describe a fool? One of the words talks about the dull, stupid person who is stubborn. Now, for those of you who maybe know the difference, or those of you who don't, there's a difference between someone who's stupid and somebody who's ignorant. Somebody who is ignorant just really doesn't know any better. They haven't taught. I'm ignorant about certain ways or certain things. But somebody who's stupid ought to know better. Okay? So this is the person who ought to know better because they've been shown, they've been told, but they are acting against the ways that they have been taught. They are the dull, stupid person who is stubborn. Another word that's used is the corrupt person who is morally perverted and unreasonable. And so, in light with the first word, a fool is somebody who knows what is right and what is wrong in the sight of God, but foolishly, stupidly, stubbornly chooses the way that goes against the ways of God, the morally perverse ways. And then the third word is a word that actually describes a stubborn animal set to act a certain way or to repeat its actions. And we're going to see that this morning. And so it's my hope that none of us want to be called a fool. Well, then how can we know how not to be called a fool? We look at the Word of God. Well, let's see if this morning, even though we don't want to be called a fool, if there are some ways in us that are foolish that we need to lift up before God. The first thing this morning I want us to see from God's Word as we're looking through the book of Proverbs is this. A fool does not receive instruction. A fool does not receive instruction. And there are three ways that he does not receive, or three areas from which he will not receive instruction, or about which. The first is this. A fool does not receive instruction from God. Not from God. Not from God will he receive instruction. Proverbs 1:7 says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools do not want to hear what God has to say about a certain issue. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Why would the Bible say that a fool does not want to hear what wisdom has to say, what God would have to say to him? Because in the book of Psalms, we find twice in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So since there is no God, I get to make up my own rules for the life. And don't tell me about what this God person may have to say to me. So the fool does not listen to the instruction of God because he doesn't believe there is a God to rule over him to begin with. So the fool goes on in his own ways, not willing to listen to the instruction of God. Now, dear Christian, can you be foolish? Yes, even though you believe in God, you may fail to listen to the instruction of God. You may fail to put yourself under the authority of what you have read. And you may know that sexual immorality is wrong, but you foolishly follow after it. A fool does not receive instruction even from God. Neither does a fool receive instruction from parents. A fool refuses to receive instruction from parents. Proverbs 15:5, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent. So, those of us who are still living in the home underneath our parents' authority, and you ask them for their advice, and they give you that advice, and you decide to go against the advice of your parents, what does the Bible call you? A fool. Yes, disobedient. Yes, sinful. But the Bible also calls you a fool for not listening to your parents, to not listening to the advice, to the wisdom that they have gained through the Lord and through their years on earth. A fool does not receive instruction, not from God, not from parents, and not from experience. The fool does not learn from his mistakes. Proverbs 26:11, and one of the more vivid pictures in the book of Proverbs. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. And maybe you've not had animals in your house, or you've not seen this, but it is true. A dog, cats don't do this. Cats don't do this that I've seen. Not too much. But dogs will throw up, and they'll wander around the yard, and they'll come back to their vomit, and, oh, what's this? And they'll want to take a taste. And they'll leave, and they'll come back, and, oh, what's this? And generally, they kind of make a face that's not too good, but they come back again. What's this? Taste it. Oh. And they'll go wander around the yard again. Such is a fool. Doesn't learn the first time around. Doesn't learn the second or third time. Repeatedly makes the same mistakes over and over. Refuses to listen from his or her experience. A fool does not receive instruction. Are you a fool this morning? Does your employer often have to tell you, how many times do I have to tell you? If your employer says that to you, you're giving the characteristic of being a fool. If you as a child have heard the words from your parents, why will you not listen? You're giving the characteristic of being foolish. No, none of us want to be called a fool, though we may still be a fool in our actions. Now, in all these ways, there is this word of good news I want to give to you, and that is God Himself reveals to us our foolish ways, not so that we could stay in our foolish ways and feel bad about them and continue on, but so that we may be righted in the ways of wisdom. And so when God reveals to us that I've been acting like a fool because I'm not listening to the instruction of others, God, thank you that in your wisdom and in your mercy you are showing me I need to listen to others. And help me not to be foolish, but to be wise and to listen to the counsel of good and godly and trustworthy men and women in my life. If you are a fool because you do not listen to instruction, stop being a fool. And thank God for revealing this to you in your life. Confess the sin of being foolish. Why is it a sin to be foolish? Well, remember what a sin is. A sin is anything that goes against the character and the conduct and the commands of God. Is God foolish? No. And so when you continue to walk in foolish ways, you are going against the character of God, who is all wise, as we said earlier, who is wise, as we sang in that very first song. And so let us renounce foolish ways and move on to wisdom. And so a fool does not receive instruction. Even more foolish when a fool asks for wisdom and then does not follow through with it, with wisdom that he's given. A fool does not receive instruction, and yet a fool does not control his speech. A fool does not control his speech. Oh, though a fool does not like to receive wisdom, receive instruction, the foolish man or woman is more than willing to give their wisdom, or their foolish wisdom. More than willing to give their instruction, even without it being asked. They're just gushing forth their folly. In fact, Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts, or according to your translation, gushes forth folly. Proverbs 18:6-7, a fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A fool's mouth is constantly running on what his or her opinion is. Doesn't matter if it lines up with the Word of God, just this is what I think, and running forth time after time after time after time. A fool like this needs to hear the words of James 1:19-20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The fool needs to listen that he just doesn't need to pour forth everything that comes into his mind out of his mouth. A fool can even find honor, says the book of Proverbs, if he just keeps his mouth shut. Because if you keep your mouth shut, nobody will know the foolish thoughts that are going on in your head, and they'll perceive you to be wise. But the fool can't help it. Thought comes in, and it's got to go out. Is that you this past week? Have you been guilty of that? Thoughts have come in, and you just had to say them. Be wise, and perhaps be quicker to listen and slower to speak. A fool should ask the question, what kind of fruit is coming out of my mouth? What kind of fruit is coming out of my mouth? While we were on vacation up in the mountains, and we were reading through the book of Proverbs one morning, and we were riding through the mountains, and it was day 25, and so Proverbs 25:11 says this, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. And so the catchphrase for us for the rest of that week, and children had permission to say this to each other, children had permission to say this to adults, of course the adults to each other and to the children, is when we heard each other talking, we would just say, what kind of fruit was that? Is that apples of gold and silver? Or maybe rotten cherries, sour lemons? A fool does not control his speech, just gushes forth his or her opinions over and over and over. Like to this second one is the third. A fool does not receive instruction. A fool does not control his speech. A fool does not control his temper. Proverbs 12:16. A fool's vexation or a fool's annoyance is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. Does your mom and dad ask you to take out the trash? And you immediately go, oh. The boss asks you to stay a half an hour later because of a special project that's going on, and you go back to your office. Slam! Does your husband ask you to do something as his wife, and you roll your eyes? Does your wife ask you to do something out of love for her, and you sort of grumble and shake your head as you walk away? A fool. Fool's annoyance is known at once. Proverbs 29:11. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. When others describe you, does the term always flying off the handle come into mind? Does red-faced describe you as a general rule? Do others warn their friends, don't make him angry? Don't make her angry? Fool does not control his temper, but he lets it be known, or she lets it be known in full vengeance right away. Brothers and sisters who live in the same house, siblings, this is probably a tough one for us. We might reserve our anger for our parents because we respect them and we know better than to show our annoyance to our parents, but you know, let a brother or sister cross us. Take a toy that they didn't ask for, or mess with our clothes that they didn't ask for, or say no to us, to some request that we have, and wham! Voices get raised. Hair gets pulled. Grudges begin. Silence, that cold, deadly silence of inactivity and non-communication between siblings because you crossed each other. These ways are foolish, says the Bible. Instead, let us portray Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let us not be like the fool who cannot control his tongue, or the fool who does not control his temper, but let us be wise in showing the fruit of the Spirit within us. Now, I'm going to make an observation. I hope I do this rightly. Y'all are pretty quiet this morning, which tells me one of a couple things. One, this is a simple message, and you know it already, and you're just sort of gliding through. And that may be. It is a very simple message. The Bible is simple in these regards. It may also be that the Spirit of God is working on you, and you're tired of me stepping on your toes already. Again, I say what we said earlier. We have a gracious God. And it is not I who step on your toes, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us of wrongdoing for the purpose of not making us go hide from God, but to run to Him and to thank Him for His convicting work in our lives and for our pleading and desperateness that He would change us out from being fools to being wise men and wise women and children. A fool does not receive instruction. You know, the picture of the fool is one just ears. Now, you ever do that as a child? You didn't want to hear what somebody was saying, so you plugged your fingers. Yeah. I know my mom and dad, when I did that, thought to me, "You look so foolish." Well, we don't have to be doing that outwardly, but inwardly we could be, and God could be saying to us, "You're so foolish." A fool does not control his speech. If you're one where it's described you have diarrhea of the mouth, a fool does not control his temper. Fourth, a fool is not to be trusted with responsibility. Here's another personal motivation for not being foolish. If others see you as foolish, they are not going to trust you with weighty matters. They're not going to trust you with responsibility at school or responsibility at work. How do I know this? Proverbs 26. Let's turn there this morning. Proverbs 26. And in Proverbs 26, the very first verse, it says, "Like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool." Now, grammar, this is, I always got these confused. Is this a simile or a metaphor? It's a simile. That's right. So this simile, this use of the language to describe the fool, like snow in summer and like rain in harvest. How many of you have seen it snow in summertime, at least in the South? Maybe you were in Alaska somewhere and it grew cold, or Iceland or somewhere. But how many in South Carolina, the South, have seen it snow in summer? It just doesn't. And in the harvest time, it is remarkable that generally the rain holds off. It's uncommon to see rain during the harvest time. It's one of God's great ways of providing for there to be good weather for farmers to go and to gather in their crops. Well, those things don't go together, just like honor doesn't go with a fool. And this word that's used for honor is the same word for weight and weighty things, and the term responsibility. Like snow doesn't go with summer, and like rain doesn't go in harvest, so responsibility does not go with a fool. If you decide to give responsibility to a fool, Proverbs 26 outlines some things that you can go ahead and expect. One is this: if you're going to give responsibility to a fool, be ready for constant correction. Verse 3, 26, "A whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools." If you're going to give responsibility to someone who is a fool, be ready to stand right there with them and constantly correct them and keep them on task and keep them going in the right direction. Because a fool can't be given responsibility. A fool cannot do their work on their own. Because a fool, remember, doesn't listen to instruction. And so you give him or her a task, and they're just going to go about it any old way they want to. Again, the question that comes to mind is, how many times have I told you how to do this? This can be at the workplace or at home. Is that the way I told you to do it? Jones, how many times are you going to mess this up? Be ready for constant correction if you're going to give responsibility to a fool. Secondly, be ready for ruinous results. Be ready for ruinous results. Look at verse 6. He cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, who sends a message by the hand of a fool. Is it to my advantage to send a fool with a message for me, according to this verse? I might as well cut off my own feet. That's not good at all. Might as well drink violence to myself. And then again in verse 10. Like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool or who hires those who pass by. That archer is just sending out arrows indiscriminately wherever it goes, wherever it lands, and civilians are getting hurt left and right, people, unintended victims. Well, in verse 10, if I hire a fool, I will be causing harm to others. If I hire a fool, if I give responsibility to a fool, I better be ready for constant correction because the fool must be constantly corrected. I must be ready for ruinous results because fools just don't do what's given to them. And they don't do it in the right way. And then last, be ready for repeated errors. And we come back to this verse 26:11 that we read earlier. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. So those of you who are employers, the Bible would say it'd be wise of you to be very determined, very purposeful, methodical, very wise in who you hire. A fool is not to be trusted with responsibility. If a man will not give a fool responsibility, will God? If man will not give another man who is a fool responsibility, will God give a man who is a fool responsibility? He will not. So this issue of foolishness does have greater implications, and we're going to be looking at this at the very end of the message. And that is, I don't want to be counted foolish because I want to be counted worthy to be used of by God, found worthy to be given responsibility. So a fool does not receive instruction. A fool does not control his speech. A fool does not control his temper. A fool is not to be trusted with responsibility. And the last one for this morning, a fool does not bring joy to his parents. A fool does not bring joy to his parents. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 17:25, and there are many others, but I'll leave you with these two. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Children who still live at home, how you live according to God's Word affects your relationship with your parents. And you, I pray, want it to be said that you bring joy to your mother and your father. And so I encourage you, though you be a child, but don't be a foolish child. Listen to the instruction of God in His Word. Listen to the instruction of your parents. Learn from the mistakes that you have already perhaps made. And some of us are grown, and we no longer live under the house of our parents. And yet, if we get some alone time and we ask God, how did I act with my parents? Some of us might need to be making some phone calls today. Mom, Dad, I just want to call and let you know that God revealed to me that I really didn't make life a joy for you. I did not bring you gladness. And for that, I was foolish. Would you please forgive me? There may be some relationships here in the room that needs to happen. Maybe even before you leave today, where you realize that instead of bringing honor, instead of bringing joy and gladness, that rather you are the giver of grief and bitterness to your parents. Let us instead, as children, of however old our parents may be, may we remember the words of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, let me ask a question for you. Why is any of this important? I mean, couldn't a good number of these things we could have been taught in an ethics class in public school? And in a way, yes. In a way, yes. But in another way, no. Why is it then that I should be wise and not foolish? And there's the selfish motivation. Well, I don't like that name. I don't want to be called a fool. I don't want to look like a fool in other people's eyes. And that is a motivation, but it's not God's motivation. Why we should be counted wise and not fools. And so let's take a moment as to why is this issue of foolishness and wisdom important? And we could have kept on going down a whole list of things of foolishness, like it is the fool who interacts with the adulteress. And Proverbs 5 and 6 and 7 talks about that path of the fool who just goes down the way of death as he continues to interact with the harlot and the adulteress, the loud woman. We could have talked about how a fool, not a fool and his money are soon parted, that's Poor Richard's almanac, but how a fool does not use his wealth wisely in the eyes of God. We could have talked about how a fool does not do well with his friends, but we will be talking about that in a couple weeks when we talk about relationships. There's much more to this issue of being wise and fool than what we've covered today, but why is the overall issue important? And one of the reasons why this issue is important, I've already covered this morning, and that is this. We were made to be in the image of God. We were made to be in the image of God. And most of us, when we responded earlier to that question, is our God a fool or is our God foolish? We said no. We know He's not. He is our all-wise, always wise God. And if I am to be remade through the new birth in Jesus Christ, remade into the image of God, then I am to be wise. If I am to be made daily into the image of Christ, and Christ Himself is the treasury of God's wisdom, then as I am made more into the image of Christ, I don't become more foolish as my days go by. I don't stay in my foolishness as the days go by. I become less and less foolish because I'm putting on more and more of Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And so this issue of wisdom and foolishness is not so much about my feelings when somebody calls me a name. The issue is my standing before God. My being called wise and foolish reflects upon the God who made me and my relationship with Him. The issue of wisdom and foolishness is a reflection of God's image in me. And so maybe it'll be a good question to go home and in our prayer closets this afternoon or this week, and Lord, You who are all wise and You who have made me into Your image, are there some areas in my life that I don't act in wisdom? Because as much as I love You and want to bring honor to Your name, when I act foolishly, it doesn't bring honor to Your name. So reveal those ways I am foolish so I can live wisely. And don't be surprised that the way He does that is not by some loud, audible voice, but just by the faithful reading of His Word. He's going to reveal that this here, this acting like a dog, returning to its vomit. All of a sudden you'll read that verse and it's going to leap off the page. So this issue is important because we are a reflection of God's image in us. This issue of wisdom and foolishness is also important because it is the issue of refusing one of God's great blessings. When you read through the book of Proverbs, particularly at the beginning, it says that wisdom cries out for all to listen to her. And wisdom is the gift of God to His people to know how to live and in a right relationship with Him and a right relationship with one another. And so it's God's gift to us, His wisdom, so that we're not lost in dark and foolish ways. And when we decide to live in foolishness, what we are in fact saying is, thank you, God, I don't need that gift from you. And so when we choose foolishness over wisdom, we are refusing one of God's gifts. This issue is important because it is a reflection of God's image within us. It is a refusal of God's blessing. It is also a reflection upon God and His people. Why would I want to live in a foolish way so that an unbeliever can somehow look and watch my life over there and he knows that I'm a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's looking and checking me out and he's going to go, what? Well, if that's what that God produces, I don't want any part of it. Why should I follow that God if I'm going to be a fool like that? So whether you are wise or foolish reflects upon your testimony and reflects upon the person of God Himself. Now, there is a place in the New Testament where Paul says, I am a fool for Christ. Be foolish that way all day long. Be glad to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, although everybody else around you would just sort of chuckle and snort and think of you as just some uneducated, you know, person who must rely on the crutch of religion. Be a fool for Christ and love Him with all your heart. That's not what the Bible here is talking about. Here is talking about even in the eyes of men, they can see you as foolish. And if you're going to act like that, how is that a draw to follow after God? It's not. I can be foolish like that without Christ and still get to do all my fun things that I want to do. It is also a reflection not only upon God, but upon His people. You realize that when you walk out of this place, you are not only an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are also an ambassador of this group right here. You are an ambassador for Grace Community Baptist Church. And how you live your life, wisely or unwisely, reflects on your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that ought to be a motivation for me. I want to be wise so that I am living to all that God has called me to in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be wise and receive wisdom from His Word because it's a good gift to me. I want to be wise and live wisely so that God's name is glorified by those who are living around me and watching me. But I also want to be wise and known as wise so that you're well spoken of. I mean, I really don't want to live as a fool so that everybody else in town talks badly about Grace Community Baptist Church. The whole church may be filled with very wise people, but if I'm walking around town spouting forth my folly, losing my temper everywhere, refusing to listen to instruction by others, if I'm acting the fool and they see me and they know that I'm a part of Grace Community Baptist Church, well, then what does that say about Grace Community Baptist Church? Well, they all must be like that. Why would I want to go to that church? A bunch of fools over there. I'd be glad if they said a bunch of fools for Christ. That would be wonderful. There are a bunch of fools over there. Don't know even how to behave. What a condemnation when pagans judge believers because we live in foolishness. So this issue of wisdom and foolishness is not just about me and what others may say about me. It becomes an issue of the integrity and the honor of God's name. It becomes an issue of joining in with God's purpose in my life to be known as a wise man, not foolish. It becomes an issue of receiving all the good gifts that the Father in heaven above has to bestow. It becomes an issue of reflecting you all and being a reflection upon you. And so today, I pray that this morning's message would do this at least, to make us to go home and ask the question, oh God, am I wise or foolish? Because, to go back to the first verse that we looked at, the wise will inherit honor and glory, but fools only shame. I don't want shame to my name. I don't want shame to your name, O God. I don't want shame for the other believers. So this morning, let us hear the call to be wise, to shun the way of foolishness. Father, we have heard these words, and your word is fully pregnant and bursting with more words about being wise and foolish. And there will never be a day when we will be able to say that we have attained fullness of wisdom. That only belongs to you. But may it also be said, Lord, that we are not seeking to be full of foolishness. Help us to pursue wisdom not just simply out of selfish motives and be known as perhaps morally upright people. Help us to look beyond just rules and regulations. Pagans, unbelievers can follow rules and regulations. But help us to see that the call to wisdom and the avoidance and the fleeing of folly is a call to reflect you in our lives. And Father, we thank you for this journey that you have called us to in Christ Jesus. And Lord, it is not always easy to give up our foolish ways. Sometimes you literally have to rip those foolish ways out of our clutching fingers. And we don't like it, and it's painful, and we wish that there were another way to live except to give up this foolish pet way that we have. And yet, Lord, if you were to make us wise, let us relinquish. Maybe it is the temper issue. Maybe it is the know-it-all issue, unwilling to listen to what anybody else, even you, has to say to us. Do what you must in making us wise. But, oh Lord, I pray that you would give us the greatest of wisdom today to make us wise unto salvation. Let us not be the fools who say in our heart that there is no God. But make us to be wise to know that salvation comes by no other name under heaven except the name of Jesus. Take our minds, our thoughts, our wills, our behaviors, and transform them in your wise and perfect ways. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.